Somebody that's not even mentioned, in fact, in this Scripture. Somebody that's willing to not even be spoken of. Don't have to have their name mentioned. That lad didn't just fall out of the clouds. The lunch didn't just appear in his hand. The lad had a mama that packed his lunch. And I want to preach today to mamas on packing a good lunch for your children. Packing a good lunch for your children. Well, I tell you, the Lord brought that to my mind and brought that in my heart. And even now, I sense the emotion of memory of all those many mornings that I would go out to catch the school bus. I would always have a lunchbox. I'd always have a lunchbox with me to take to school. And in that lunchbox was, of course, usually a little small thermos, something to drink, and then maybe a sandwich and maybe some chips or something. Mama would always pack my lunch. Every time I'd go to school, for years, Mama packed my lunch. And I would always go out with a full lunchbox, but I'd always come home with an empty lunchbox because I'd always eat everything in it. Because you see, Mama that packed my lunch knew what I liked. She knew what I needed to eat, and she'd pack my lunch. She not only packed my lunch, she'd pack my brother's lunch. And you know what? My daddy, for many years, worked at the plant there in Pisgah Forest. And many mornings that I can remember, daddy's, when I would go in to get ready to eat breakfast or whatever and get ready to go to school, there would be my lunchbox, my brother's lunchbox, and then there's daddy's big box. You can about put our boxes in. But mama's the one that packed all of our lunches. She'd get up early, sacrifice sleep to pack our lunch so we'd have something to eat. And when I thought about that this morning, how that I enjoyed through the day what Mama packed for me. Well, there are spiritual applications here of packing a good lunch for your children. You mothers, I hope you'll receive the challenge here this morning. So God began to speak to my heart about that early this morning, about packing a good lunch for your children. There's a behind-the-scenes mother that's never mentioned here. You know, we read a lot about some of the Bible characters in the Scriptures that stand out, that had a big name, that were noted Bible characters, maybe for building an ark. Amen. You know, but behind Noah was Noah's mother. Amen. We think about other Bible characters, such as the one that God chose to go to Egypt and lead out 2.5 million Israelites from bondage. We know Moses, but behind Moses was Jochebed. And you know, when you go right off through the Scriptures, we hear about John the Baptist. But don't forget, behind John the Baptist was a Spirit-filled, godly mother by the name of Elizabeth. Amen. All the way through the Scriptures, you find that behind individuals, you have a mother. Sometimes it's a godly mother, and then in some cases, not so godly. In fact, ungodly mother. In fact, Jezebel was an ungodly mother. Amen. But we're not preaching about that today. We're trying to challenge our mothers today to pack a good lunch for the children. Don't worry about getting any notoriety. Don't worry about anybody knowing your name. You will be pleased as a mother to just see your child's lunch being used. You'll be pleased to know that your child is doing something for the Master. That you put something in your child's lunch that the Master could use. You will be satisfied with that. You don't need a trophy. You don't need your name in limelights, and you don't need a big article put in the paper. You don't need that. You're self-satisfied just to see your children's lunch that you packed being used for God. So I want to deal with some things, simple things, and hopefully the Lord will give us more things even as we endeavor to bring the message this morning. And I just jotted down a few little thoughts that I believe and hopefully that God will help us with. The first simple truth is, who packed the lunch? Who packed the lunch? Somebody had to pack the lunch. It didn't pack itself. You can't expect your children to have their lives packed full of things that God can use unless somebody takes the responsibility in the home to pack their lunch. So no doubt in my mind about it that it was no doubt the mother that packed the lunch. Now think about this. Now keep in mind, when we read John chapter number 6, most of the time, how many of you have ever thought about the lad's mother? Very few of you. I mean, I've mentioned before, preaching from this text, that more than likely when he got the 12 baskets left over, he probably took them back to Mom and said, Mom, look what God did with the lunch you packed. Sure. Amen. Well, that's the joy of a child, to be able to report back home and say, hey, Mom, your packing of my lunch was not in vain. Look what the Lord's done with my life. Amen. But behind the scenes was a mother, and think about it. Somebody had to catch that lunch. Them fishes just didn't appear in the kitchen one morning. They didn't just flop out of the creek in the bag. Somebody had to catch the lunch. And you know, more than likely it could have been the mother. Amen. Well, I tell you, my mom, my grandmother especially, loved to fish. Oh, she'd rather fish than to eat. So, I mean, it was very likely with the man of the house being the breadwinner of the house and, you know, and this little lad, we don't know how old he was. He's just a little small boy. It is very likely that the mother was responsible for the fish being in the house. Somebody had to catch it. Secondly, I'm still talking about who packed the lunch. Secondly, the lunch, not only the fish had to be caught, but the fish, secondly, had to be cleaned. I thought about that this morning. The fish, the lunch that was packed for the child had to be cleaned. And if you've ever cleaned fish, you know that is not a very pleasant experience. Say amen right there. I mean, fish, when you're cleaning fish, is nasty. I mean, it's gooey and messy and even stinky. Amen? Come on, man. The fish does not come out of the creek like you get it out of the frying pan. It don't come already filleted. It don't come headless. It don't come like that. Amen? Somebody has got to be willing. Come on, mamas. Somebody's got to be willing to get their hands messy, fooled with some mess and stink and slime and things that are not really pleasant. Why? Because you want to pack a good lunch for your child. Somebody's got to catch it. Somebody's got to clean it. Thirdly, somebody's got to cook it. Now, wait a minute. That don't mean much to y'all, ladies, because you've got them push-button things in the kitchen. Just go in there, you know, and just kind of turn a knob and automatically you've got an eye with heat. Or you've got an oven with heat. Automatically, I mean, just push a button and put it in there, set the timer and go sit on the sofa. Amen. But in Bible times, friend, it wasn't any of this push-button stuff. Listen, amen. I don't know if it's similar to the way it was in Honduras. When I went down there on the mission trip, we went into several people's houses, or basically it was just little mud huts is all it was, dirt floors. And they had actually made their ovens or their cooking apparatus out of clay. And it was just a clay fixture in the corner with a piece of metal laid over it with a little small opening underneath it. And underneath that, should build a fire. If they're going to cook something, they're going to build a fire. So it was really toilsome for somebody to cook something in the Bible times. Because they had to gather wood. They had to go find it. They may have to cut it. Amen. And over there, whenever in the Bible lands, where mostly everything is nothing but rock and sand, I'd say it was a task to find wood. Somebody had to cook that lunch. Mothers, devote your time. It's not going to be easy to pack a lunch. It's going to be time consuming when you figure all of the ingredients involved. I mean, look at, I don't know how they fixed their fish in those times there, but it, I mean, you think of the, if they needed ingredients, several ingredients to fix with the fish, you know, then that meant a trip to the market. All behind the scene of just simply packing a lunch. And no doubt the mother was largely in charge, in charge of packing that lunch. So we talk about who it is that packs the lunch. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, mothers are largely responsible for their children, spiritually, physically, materially, in every way. Amen? Usually the father's out making the money and paying bills, and the mother's raising youngins. Amen? Raising children. Amen? Miss Stapleton give testimony to raising children. Amen? Some of them here today, some will be in later on. And it's a toilsome thing. She even raised children during the Depression. She lived during the Depression. She survived the Great Depression. And she said she would not wish that on her worst enemy. She wouldn't want ever to go back through that again. Amen? But listen, let me just talk about who it was that packed the lunch. Mothers, you've got more time with your children typically than the daddy does, especially early in life. I want to mention a second truth. Not only was who it was that packed the lunch, these are just simple thoughts. If you're looking for deep stuff, you're in the wrong place this morning. But these are principal things. I believe things that ought to help us. Mothers ought to have a desire. No mother in here would physically send their child out hungry. No mother in here would do that. You know why? Because you love them physically and you're concerned about their physical needs. Am I right? Sure you are. Well, how many mothers are equally concerned about their children's spiritual lunch? Spiritual lunch. So who it was that packed the lunch? Number two, where was the lunch packed? I believe you can just summarize and believe that if the mother packed the lunch, and no doubt she did, then probably we could conclude that the lunch was packed at the house. Our children needs their lunch spiritually packed at home. Not just spiritually. They need training of how to live life. They need to get all of that at home. What that little boy needed to live that day, survive hunger, deal with issues, came from the house. Amen. Miss Stapleton's son Wayne is here, and Wayne is a good cook, I've been told. Hopefully I'll get to sample that one day. Wayne, I want to put you on the spot. Where'd you learn to cook at? He didn't have to study on that. He didn't even have to ask Miss Sue, his sidekick, sister, amen. Where did I learn? Who taught me? Immediately pointed a finger and said she did. Mother did. See, he's using and has used in his whole life things that his mother has put in his lunch down when he was a child and growing up. Most kids today, if we went through a depression, would never survive. Because they've never been trained to do anything. They've never had anything put in their lunches, so to speak, that they could draw out of and use on a daily practical level. Where was it prepared? At the house. The home life is the foundation of our country. Our country is great. It's great because of its home. When the homes crumble, the church crumbles. And when the church crumbles, the nation crumbles. We're raising a generation today on the scene that has empty lunch bags. They don't have anything in their lunch. They don't have anything in their lunch that's beneficial. They've got a bunch of garbage and candy bars and Tootsie Rolls and stuff that is of no good. Say amen right there. Who was it packed? Where was it packed? It was packed at home. A lot of children act out of the home based on how they are trained in the home. Amen. Say amen right there. Come on. Children are a reflection of the home in many ways and in many times. There are some exceptions, I'm sure. But it was prepared at the house. And then I want to mention, thirdly, when was it packed? Now, this is very close to the one I just mentioned. Where was it packed? When was it packed? It was packed before the son left the house. After he's gone, after the son is gone, you can't pack a lunch then. A lunch packed after they've left won't really do a whole lot of good. The lunch needs to be packed while the son is still at the house. While the children are under your feet. While the children are under your apron strap. Amen. That's the time to pack the lunch for your children. Amen. So when was it packed? Before the boy left the house. Mothers, do not. I want to encourage you. Do not waste your life and waste your children's life and then look at them one day gone, already gone, and then you look out the window and say, boy, we've got a peck of lunch for them. Don't live your whole life with regret thinking, boy, look at the opportunities that I had to pack my son's lunch, my daughter's lunch, my children's lunch. Look at the opportunity that I had and I wasted it. I spent my time with this and I spent my time doing that did not impact my child for good. Regret is a hard thing to handle. So when was it packed? And then I would like to say what was packed. What was packed? The Bible tells us that it was just 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. Amen. Really wasn't much to it. If the world would have looked at that lunch, the world would have looked at that lunch, they would have probably snarled their nose, probably would have laughed. Because most of the world was used to the finer end. And most of that world was used to eating other things. Maybe better things. Maybe one boy. Of course, we know that in this passage there wasn't no other lunch but that one. But had there been another lunch available, maybe that boy would have pulled out his lunch and said, look what mama put in my lunch. And maybe would have pulled out things that would have been for pleasure. Look what mama put in my lunch, things that would be for the flesh, for the benefit of the flesh. But this one had a lunch packed with 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. Do you know what bread is a picture of in the Bible? In fact, in this very chapter, Jesus used this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 with the bread and the fishes, bread, and he went right out of this miracle and gave the great discourse on Jesus being the bread of life. Jesus being the bread of heaven. Some of you done ahead of me. What did the mother pack in the lunch? She put bread in there, which is typical of Jesus. She put Jesus in his lunch. Amen. Now, it may not bless you too much, but it's sure blessing me because, thank God, my mother packed my lunch with a godly example and with biblical teaching. Amen. I like that. So what was in it? There was bread in it. What are you doing, mothers, to put Jesus in your child's life? I mean, really, I'm just going to kind of leave that as an open-ended question and let you be the one that would look at your own life and say, what am I doing to put bread in my child's lunch? That's a good thought. What am I doing? I tell you what, friend, listen. Oh, this is good. Talking about what's in the lunch. If you mothers do not put bread in your child's lunch, the world, the flesh, sin will make sure that they put something in your child's lunch. Your child in life will have a lunch. They will have a lunch. The question is, who fixed it and what is in it? And what will be the outcome? Somebody's going to put something in your child's lunch. And I believe, listen, I believe we're reaping. I believe we're reaping, we're seeing on the scene today such a godless generation. And I believe it's the results of children that had their bags pumped full of Hollywood. Instead of a mother training and packing the lunch, they stuck them in a living room with a remote control and said, there. Thousands of hours, some 12, I believe it's something like 12 to 18,000 hours, 12,000 hours a child has watched TV before they graduate high school. Are you listening? Do you not think that influences them? Oh, my soul. Go to church 3 times a week, you know. Here, I mean, compared to the hours at the schoolhouse around heathens. Say amen right there. That's right. It's not the teachers, it's them heathens, buddy, that your child is sitting next to or in front of or beside of or behind. They're the ones that's going to train your children up what their godless parents are training them up to do, to curse and to swear and to lie and cheat and steal and all of those other things. I know, for example, myself, the many things that I learned to do that was contrary to the Bible, that was contrary to Mama's teachings and my upbringing, I learned from influences in my life. I made this statement Friday night, and it's still big in my heart. I want to say it again. Rebellion always is attached to influence. Always. When a young person is rebellious toward parental leadership and parental authority or pastoral authority or biblical authority, they don't want to do what's right. Look at their lives. I've done it many times. Look at their lives. There's another friend in their life that's pumping that into them. Or else they're watching something. Or else they're listening to some type of music that's putting that rebellion in their lunch. Amen. Mothers, I want to say to you this morning, there is competition you're up against about what's going to be in your child's lunch. Competition. If you don't, somebody else will. A friend, a peer, an associate, an acquaintance, somebody will get in your child's life and will be sure to put their hand in their bag and put some things in there that would be dishonorable to you. I hope you listen. What was in it? Bread. Bread. Jesus said that bread's like me. I'm the bread sent down from heaven. Amen. And then there was a second thing in the basket, in the lunch. And that was fish. Fishes. And I thought, what does fish represent in the Scripture? Fish represents a number of things. One is service. How many of you ever saw I don't know the name of it, but it's the fish emblem. You know, what do they call that? The what? Say it again. Hitha. Hitha. I'd rather just call it a fish. Amen. Amen. We talk about a hitha. They don't nobody know what that is, but a fish. A fish emblem. Everybody saw it on bumpers and, you know, there's even lapel pins of that little fish emblem. That's an emblem of service. That's an emblem to identify that somebody is interested in serving the Lord. It is also, fish is used in the Scriptures to refer to fruitfulness or productivity. You remember when Jesus called James and John? They were fishing. And He told them to lay down their nets and come and follow Him. And He said, "What am I going to make you?" He said, "I'm going to make you fishers of men." In other words, Jesus compared their fishing financially or earthly to catching men spiritually. Fishing is service. Why did they cast nets? Why did they catch fish? That was their business. That was their occupation. That was their service. That was their productivity. They give their lives to casting nets and catching fish. Jesus said, "I want you to do away with the nets and come and follow Me. And in the same regard, I want you to catch men." That is, I want you to be used in service of catching fish. Amen. So what did she put in the basket? What did she put in the lad's lunch? She put bread. She put Jesus in there. And then she put service in there. She put something in her son's lunch that signifies service. How many mothers are training their children to serve? I was in a revival last week in Kannapolis. And on Friday night, they had a little meal after the service. And we went out in the fellowship hall and I got seated there with my meal. And you know what? Those young kids, different ages, both boys and girls, was constantly coming by. "Preacher, you need anything? What are you drinking?" If they saw my drink just a little bit low, "What are you drinking, preacher?" I said, "I'm drinking this." And they'll go get it and bring it back. "Preacher, you don't want any dessert?" And I was sitting across kind of angled from the pastor and pastor's wife. And she said to me, "We're trying to teach these kids around here to serve." I think it would be great. I think it'd be great, even in Jubilee nights, for our kids to constantly just be going around the tables. "Ma'am, could I get you some drink? Could I get you something? Do you need anything?" Teaching children to submit themselves to other people and to be a servant. You say, "Oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to serve. I don't want to do that." You better not forget what Jesus said. When Mary, I looked at it, thought about preaching it this morning. When Mary took and brought her two sons to Jesus and requested that Jesus allow her two boys to sit with Him on the throne in the kingdom, one on the right and one on the left, she was after her boys' greatness in the kingdom. And she thought that greatness came from elevation, positions of recognition. "We want them to sit with you on the throne." But Jesus went on, Matthew 20 if you want to read it, Jesus went on in that text and taught the disciples that that's not the path of greatness. The path of greatness is service. Service. The Bible even says about Jesus that He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. If anybody deserved, Brother Seal, to be served, waited on, was Jesus. But yet Jesus said He didn't come to minister, come to be ministered unto, but He came to minister. Training our children to serve. Listen, friend, I'm troubled, and I made mention of a few things Friday night. I am really troubled as a pastor. I am troubled at what I'm seeing in the uprising, upcoming generation far as church is concerned. It's not uncommon to go to churches in our area, in the Bible Belt, and find that church with no kids in it. I was sitting the other day across from the table with a pastor. I'd never met him before. We just happened to get at the same table. And I introduced myself, and he introduced himself. And I asked him, I said, Do you have any teenagers? He's been pastoring this church for 27 years. He said, no, I don't have but maybe two. Something's bad wrong. I'm telling you, when children can come up in our Sunday school class levels, but when they become teenagers, when they get 13, get a cell phone, and that independent spirit gets in them, and that's when rebellion comes in. They don't want mom or nobody else telling them what to do because they're an independent big shot now. No, you're not a big shot. Amen. In fact, take your mom and daddy away from you and all of their supplies, and you would be a little shot. A hungry shot. An unhoused shot. An uncar shot. That's right. You're not near as big as you think you are. You're not near as tough as you think. Amen. But this generation's coming up right now. They're not even, many of them are not even given thought of how can I serve God? Most of them are not the least bit interested. God, what do you want me to do? What is your purpose for my life? Most people never even think about that. They're thinking about what can I do to make the most money? Where can I go to make the most money? And they put spiritual things way back somewhere else. That's where mamas come in. This is Mother's Day. I'll preach to fathers on Father's Day. All right? You have to come back. All right? But mothers, I'm going to tell you, that's where you come in. You've got access to your child's lunch. Amen. You can put your hand in that lunch. It's up to you a lot of what goes in that lunch. Now, don't take that lunch. Use a little prop here. This is a little bigger, I'm sure, than his basket. Don't take that lunch over to your child when you're getting ready to pack it and start saying, hey, you like that? You like that? In other words, get the child's permission before you put anything in the basket. If you let a child choose... If you let a child choose, I'm talking about when they're little, they will not choose the spiritual. We've had, years ago, we've had families come here that were interested in our church. They didn't come too many times. They come and they seen that our church was built on preaching. Our church was built on worship. Amen. And I noticed they didn't come back. Well, I would call them or go by and see them. I said, where have you been? We've been missing you. You hadn't come back. Well, and they'd bring up little Johnny or little Junior or little Sissy. They'd say, and they'd point their little kid, little child, still playing with G.I. Joe and little baby dolls. Well, they didn't want to come to church there. They want to go somewhere else where they got all kinds of fun. Of course, duh. You think a child would rather go to church or go to the carnival? Give them a toy. You think they'll want a toy or a tool? The Bible says a child, the book of Proverbs, a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. You can't let it, listen, don't go and say, well, it'd be all right, son, if I put this in your lunch. Put it in there, what you know is best, what you know is needful, and if he gets hungry enough, he'll eat it. You say, preacher, he won't eat it. Preacher, if I insert a lot of Bible in my child, they're going to throw it up. Preacher, if I put a lot of scripture memorization in my child, they won't like it. They'll frown on it when they open the bag at school and they see what other things the children are eating on. You know, they see what's in other people's bags. You know, Hannah Montana CDs and stuff. They pull out that and they say, look what mama bought me the other day. I'm getting to eat on this. Boy, this is tasty. But your child pulls out a King James New Testament and say, I'm learning these verses today. And that's probably the facial expression. And then another one pulls out of their lunch this immodest clothing that young people wear today, 14 sizes too small. Amen. That my father would have used only for grease rags, because it's so full of holes and tattered. But you buy them like that now. Well, they pull out that. Look what Mama bought me. Shows everything that leave nothing to the imagination. Tight, skimpy, revealing. But then on the other hand, your child pulls out and says, well, look, I'm to dress modest. I'm not to show my flesh. I'm to cover it. And if you wait till they get teenagers to start trying to make that transition, you've got a bear on your hands. That's why you don't go to them and say, honey, would it be all right if I start buying this for you, or if I start feeding you this in your lunch? Would it be all right? No, do it. Just start doing it. Amen. Might as well say amen. You're done here. Amen. Pack the lunch. Mothers, you've got access to that lunch. If you don't put your hand in it, somebody else will. Your child, son or daughter, they will have something in their lunch, and they will be feeding on it. Amen. Well, amen. I thought that was good myself. What was in the lunch? What was in the lunch? Well, I want to deal with the last one. That's the one you've been waiting on. Last one. Why did she pack the lunch? You remember what we've covered so far? Who packed it? Where was it packed? When was it packed? What was packed in it? And well, there's a lot of things. I'm telling you, there's just several things that I've wrote down here, even during Sunday school and even a while ago during the singing, that the Lord brought to my attention. You know what she put? Let me give you this one other thing right here. Come on. Hey. I'm glad I turned that little old paper over. Write it on an all-state notepad, amen. You know it's got to be God. You know what I wrote down about that? What was in the lunch? See if I can find it here. You can't even read that, can you, brother? Hardly. I can't either. Watch this right here. I wrote this down. She gave him in his lunch what she was used to eating. She put in his lunch what she would eat herself. Amen! Don't try it. Listen, kids are not stupid. Don't try to put something in their lunch that you're not eating yourself, Mom. Because they're going to frown and say, run their stick their tongue out about like that, get an old sour attitude, and they'll say, but Mom, you're not eating it. Why are you making me eat it? Amen. She put in the lunch probably the same things that she eats. That'll help your child eat, know your mom's eating. Amen. All right, listen. That's good, I thought. Amen. She put in his basket what she knew would be usable. Amen. I just want to give you something else there. Let's deal with this. We're on the why. Lord, give this to me this morning. Listen to me. Why was it packed? Of course, she didn't know the far-reaching effects. When she packed that lunch that morning, she didn't have no clue before Sunday on that evening what big things was going to happen in her son's life because she packed the lunch. She just thought it was going to be just another day, packing another lunch. He's going out. He'll come home. Just another day. You never know what God's got planned for your child on a daily basis, and you better pack them a good lunch. You better pack them a good lunch. Watch this right here. Why was it packed? Now, I just jotted down a few things right here. First, she packed in his lunch because she knew he was going to need to eat. She packed him a lunch because she knew he needed to eat. And what's this? She packed him a lunch because she knew that wherever he was going probably was not going to be any good places to eat. Why would a mother want to pack her son or her daughter's lunch? Amen. I'll tell you why. Because you know they're going to need to eat. They're going to eat something. Good or bad, spiritual or earth or worldly, they're going to eat something That mother packing the lunch is saying, I'm in charge. I want to be in charge. I want to be involved in my son's lunch packing because I want to make sure I know what he's eating. Or I want to know what she's eating. Amen. Watch this right here. This is good. Amen. Amen. I like this. Why did she pack it? Amen. She says, it matters to me. It's a concern of mine. Why would I want to pack a lunch? The mom was asked. Because it's a concern to me. It matters to me. I'm interested in what my son's going to eat or what my daughter's going to eat. It matters to me. Now, I know that's a very, very, very simple thought right there, but how many mothers does it really matter to them what their children's feeding on? Amen. I like it myself. Why was it packed? She packed the lunch so that that he could have something to be used for the master. Now watch this right here. She didn't know that initially. When he left the house, she didn't know what was going to transpire. Here it is, moms. Here it is, young people. You listen to me. It was her business to pack the lunch, but he was responsible of giving it to Jesus. You get that? That's key. Mothers, pack your son's lunch. Pack your daughter's lunch. Train them up in the way they should go. But it's really going to be responsible for their responsibility to hand that lunch to Jesus. And you know, oh boy, this is good. You know what will help them as children to submit their lunch to Jesus and give it away? That meant something to him to give that lunch away. That's all he had. That's all he had. Though it wasn't much, that's all he had. Why? What motivated him to give it away? I believe I can tell you. He had saw the selfless living of his mother. How many mothers have not eat just so their child could eat? How many mothers did not eat on purpose? Were they not hungry? Oh, they were starving. They were as hungry as anybody in the house. But they did not eat because a true mother is a selfless person, not selfish person, but a selfless person that was more interested in their child eating than themselves eating. And that was instilled in that boy. And when it came an opportunity to give up and surrender his lunch to Jesus Christ, he didn't hesitate because he had saw his mother give up many times for him. Amen. Well, there's a lot of principles right through here on packing a good lunch. Amen. Why? Listen. And then when the story concluded, And I personally, you said, Preacher, what happened to those 12 baskets of fragments left over? I personally think. You can believe whatever you want to. We don't have a verse for it. You can read between the lines. There's a few options. One says there was 12 disciples, so each one of the disciples got a basket for serving. I can see that, but I don't think that's it. I don't believe that was it. I believe that when it was all said and done, and the 5,000 men, plus their women and children, no telling, it could have been 15,000 plus people there that day. After all of them were filled, they gathered up all the fragments, the leftovers, had 12 baskets left over. Or started with a lunch that you could probably put in one hand, ended up with 12 baskets. I just got a little feeling. I just kind of think that Jesus, in front of that whole crowd, son, come here. Called him up there and said, you selflessly gave, sacrificially gave your lunch that your mama packed for you. And you gave it into the hands of the Master, Jesus Christ Himself, for him to use, or if he was talking, it's for me to use. Son, I want to show you that anytime you give to serve God your lunch, it'll be rewarded. Son, all these 12 baskets are yours. Can you imagine? Let's advance the scene to when the son goes back home. The mama's at home doing her daily chores. She don't know nothing has transpired out there in the boy's life. All she knew was lunch was packed. He'll be home after a while, probably hungry, wanting something to eat. So she's involved in her daily activities, and all of a sudden, and I just got this feeling too. I just don't think a boy could carry 12 baskets. Oh, I'm making it bigger, but I like it, don't you? I don't know but what, maybe, just maybe, one of each of those disciples had a basket following that little old boy back home. Going up on the porch, and Mama looks out the window and says, "Huh, son, what in the world is going on?" And I could see him with eyes this big. Have you ever seen a boy or a little girl try to tell something that's exciting? How their eyes are just big, huge, their mouth is open, and they can't hardly breathe, or, you know, because they're just so excited. I believe he could say, but Mom, oh, Mama, you ought to have been there." Been where? "Mama, you packed my lunch." "Mama, you packed my lunch. And something glorious happened to me today." "What happened, son?" "I was just out my daily activities and said I got in the crowd that was following Jesus." "I got in that crowd that was following Jesus and said the next thing I know, Jesus was going to feed us all. But Mama, the thing of it was, nobody had nothing but me. And I wouldn't have had it had not you packed my lunch. And Jesus, the Master, the Son of God, wanted my lunch that you packed, Mom. And I gave it to Him, and Mama, you ought to see. He took what was not hardly enough for me and began to bless it and began to break it. And Mama, He'd pinch off a piece and it would grow back out. He'd pinch off some more and it'd grow back out. Amen. Mama, I'm telling you, you oughtn't to believe it. In fact, He fed to the full 5,000 plus people. And Mama, here's the big deal. All of this. Can you just see it? I like that. That'll help you if you can try to get in that Bible and see what's happening. Or imagine. And I could just see Him pointing all those 12 baskets of leftovers. I don't believe they skipped. I believe it was heaped over. Amen. Almost falling off the sides. Mama, you're not going to believe it. And don't ask me to explain how it happened. Other than it was miraculous. How the God of heaven took my little lunch that you packed. And He blessed it and He broke it and He distributed it. Mama, all of that piled up heaping 12 baskets is just really leftovers out of that lunch you packed for me. Oh, mercy. Give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. Oh, thank God for mothers that have packed our lunches. I don't have time, but throughout this Bible right here, I was looking, flipping through it today. Just different places where she's got all kinds of different preachers' names, you know, but I flipped through several pages. Here's some falling out even. And I saw my name there several times, several different scriptures where my mama sat down. Where mama sat down, Brother Rogers, while her son opened up the bag and fed her from the lunch that she packed for me. Mamas, it's worth it to sacrifice and whatever's involved, pack your child a good lunch. I tell you another good way you can do that. Do it at the house. That's where it was packed. That's where it was prepared. That's where it all took place. But I tell you another thing you can do, and many of you are doing it. That's why you're here. I'd take that child to the house of God, and I'd say, "Preacher, put some things in my son's lunch. Preacher, put some things in my daughter's lunch." A pastor can never take the place of a parent, and I never would try. But a parent could never take the place of a pastor. They are a team. They're a team that should work together of packing your child's lunch for the glory of God. Amen.